Okay. I want to turn back today to the lesson from Exodus. We'll read a small portion of that lesson again today. Moses said to the Lord, "See, you have said to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, if I have found favor in your sight, show me your ways, so that I may know you and find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people." God said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. My brothers and sisters, this is good news for us today. The Word of God tells us that the presence of the Almighty will go with us, and He will give us truly divine rest. That's good news for you and me. Would you pray with me? Lord God, our Heavenly Father, move among us this day so that we, your people, may always feel and sense your divine power and presence. For we need to know that we are never alone. And speak to us today in such a way that we may always hear, understand, and remember. Give us your word by which you mold and shape our living. For we are your people, Lord, and we must hear and receive your word to live eternally. These things we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. I spent a good portion of this week worrying about what in the world I was going to preach on. I do that quite frequently. I begin the week on Monday by reading through the lectionary readings, the Old Testament lesson, the epistle lesson, the psalm reading, and the gospel, in hopes and in prayer that God would speak to me through these four readings and come to me with a word of God for us today. Unfortunately, the week began with busyness. As most of you know, I just came off a walk to Emmaus, having served and enjoyed a wonderful weekend as spiritual director with some of the men in our congregation. It was indeed a wonderful time. But I was exhausted, and I had to turn around immediately, and Monday afternoon I needed to go straight out to Sherman, Texas, where the bishop had called a clergy retreat. And so I had to go out for that, and so I was really discombobulated. I didn't have time to work on my sermon. All I had time to do was read the lectionary readings Monday morning. And so they were ruminating around in my brain, and I was wondering what in the world I was going to preach on. Well, as also most of you know, my father had surgery this week. And so I made several trips back and forth between Sherman and Dallas, and between Dallas and Wichita Falls, and between Wichita Falls and Sherman. And so I made several triangle trips. That's a lot of miles in there. And while I was on the road driving one afternoon, very frustrated that I needed to be spending my time on my sermon, not driving on the road. I was driving along, and there was a car up on my left side, pretty much even with me, and I noticed in my rearview mirror that this car was speeding up behind us. And I said, well, he's going to get mad, so this car wouldn't move faster or slower, so I accelerated up and allowed the car that was coming up behind me to get around, and he zoomed around me and zigzagged and sped off ahead of me. But I noticed on his bumper sticker, on his bumper, a sticker that had the following words on it: "Get in, sit down, shut up, and hang on." Get in, sit down, shut up, and hang on. And I said, thank you, God, you gave me my sermon. Especially in connection with this passage from Exodus. Because, I mean, we are used to hearing about the people of Israel moaning and groaning and complaining to Moses, "You brought us out here to die in the wilderness." But we forget that Moses taught them how to do that. He whined and moaned and complained to God too. "God, don't let me go alone. Who are you going to send with me?" And God says, "My presence will go with you, and you will find rest." And what does Moses do? The first thing he says, "If your presence will go, will not go. If your presence will not go, do not carry us up from here." He's starting out doubting Moses. God said, "My presence will," not might, not perhaps, not maybe, "but my presence will go with you, and you will find rest." Moses had no reason to doubt. God's presence had already gone with him many times. And yet, here he is, just like you and me, doubting. That bumper sticker was perfect. Think about it. For many of us, the very first thing that it tells us to do turns out to be the hard part. Get in. Starting out on any road of faith, any spiritual journey, any work that God has for us is always the hard part for many of us. Actually getting out and taking that first step. I remember when I was a kid, when I first learned how to ride my bike without training wheels, I was always afraid because I'd get on that bike and I'd lift my feet up, and I can't do that standing up, but I'd lift my feet up and I'd immediately start to tip over. And I was afraid to get moving because I could see myself tipping over even more. I didn't know that all I had to do was get going and I could balance. Just get myself moving and I would be able to balance. And my dad standing out there telling me to go ahead and to just to pedal and I'd balance just fine. I had to have faith that I would balance, that I wouldn't tip over. Getting started is for many of us the hardest part of the spiritual journey. Hence that bumper sticker so timely today. Get in, it said. Getting in to the spiritual journey, starting the Christian walk, is sometimes the hardest step. Sit down was the second word. Get in, not just get in, but sit down. Now, I don't know about you, but I drive all the time. And because I drive all the time, I get real nervous when I have to sit in the passenger seat or in the back. It makes me just want to chew off my fingernails. And I can remember the time I was riding with my mother and she was driving and I was sitting in the passenger seat and I was thinking, well, we're going to go a certain place and mother's driving away and I started to put my foot down, you know, on the pedal as if there were one on the right-hand side. And mother would say, "There's no pedal over there for you." but we need to slow down because we're going to turn here. I'm not going that way. I'm going a different way. I'm driving, not you. How often do we get, metaphorically speaking, into God's car and try to get into the driver's seat? How often do we get in thinking that we're going to be in control? How often do we get in thinking that we are going to have the driver's seat, the wheel, and the gas pedal at our convenience? How many of us get in thinking that we're in charge? I'm one of the guilty ones. But no, the bumper sticker says, get in and sit down in the passenger seat. Not in the driver's seat, not the one in charge. Get in and sit down. And now the hard one. And shut up. We need to get in and we need to sit down because God's in charge and we need to shut our mouth. Because God is the one speaking. God is the one in charge. God is the authority. That's the hard part for me. I always want to offer my opinion. I always want to offer my point of view. I always want to say, but God, I could do it better this way. Moses saying, well, if you won't go with us. Abraham saying, well, there's no possible way that we could reproduce, Sarah and I, so I'll take Sarah's handmaid. Jeremiah saying, I'm too young and I stutter and I can't speak for you, God. I mean, we have lots of examples in the Bible of people who they got in and they sat down and then they tried to talk. I share that experience myself. It is so very hard to get in and to sit down and be silent. We are called to recognize that this is not our church. It's God's church. We are called to come in here and to follow Christ, who's driving, and to listen to His Word, who is speaking. Get in, sit down, be quiet, shut up. Mother said, never say shut up. And hang on. Why is it that we sometimes don't believe that if we do what God tells us to do, if we get into the body of Christ, if we really sit down in the passenger seat, and if we are really silent, why do we sometimes fail to believe that God will take us and move with us and go with us? Why do we doubt like Moses doubted? Look at this. Moses said, well, God said to Moses, my presence will go with you, verse 14, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And Moses said to God, if your presence will not go, do not carry us up from here. Come on, Moses. God just told you my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Don't doubt. You've followed thus far. Don't start doubting now. Get in, sit down, be quiet, and hang on, because God's going to take you places. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people, unless you go with us? God's already said that He's going to go with you, Moses. Stop doubting. Have faith. Recognize that His presence is with you. You know, one of the most frequently undervalued themes throughout the entire Bible, Old Testament and New, is the theme of the presence of God with His people. It began in the Garden of Eden when God walked in the garden with Adam and Eve. And even though they tried to separate themselves from God and got thrown out of the garden, God continued to walk and talk with people of faith. God walked and talked with Enoch. God walked and talked with Noah. God walked and talked with Abram. God's presence was with people throughout the entire Old Testament, symbolized in the bread of presence in the tabernacle in the wilderness, in the blood sprinkled on the altar in the temple, symbolized and actualized by the presence of Jesus in the community of faith, in the synagogue and in the temple, actualized by the presence of the Holy Spirit in the church in the Acts of the Apostles, and in the eating of bread and the drinking of wine. We have, throughout the entirety of Scripture, the theme of the presence, the real presence of God with His people. So frequently, it is ignored. And yet it is so very important, because we can do nothing apart from the presence of God. That's what the sacraments are about. The sacrament of Holy Communion, the sacrament of baptism. These sacraments are about the presence of God with us, which elicit from us a response of faith. These sacraments are about proclaiming our faith and receiving the grace, which makes us part of the body of Christ. My brothers and sisters, we too have heard this promise from Moses that's been given to Moses today. We too have heard God speak to Moses and say to us as well, my presence will go with you. Not sit with you, not lie with you, not stand still with you. My presence will go with you. And you will find rest. I will give you rest. That's good news for you and me. That means that there's not anywhere that we can go that God's presence won't go with us. That God's presence isn't already there. There's not anything that we can do or say that God doesn't know. And God will go with us wherever He sends us. The good news today is this. My presence will go with you. Don't doubt. Have faith. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. As you come to the table of the Lord, as you receive Christian baptism today, recognize that God's presence goes with you, and in Him you truly will find rest. We don't go alone. We don't drive and we don't speak. God's in charge. And God will lead us home. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Mm-hmm. Today we celebrate the sacrament of Christian baptism. We turn in your hymnals to page 45. Now, let's come up with those who have come here with me. The Church is of God and will be preserved to the end of time for the conduct of worship and the due administration of God's word and sacraments, the maintenance of Christian